We often have temptations not only to make our own plans, but we also try our hardest to make those plans happen. We are so focused on having it all figured out. And yes, in the process, we miss God's best. The Bible is full of examples of people who trusted God with every step. If you are thinking the right thoughts and your eyes fixed on the right person, it's time to start walking towards the things God has for you in the future, rather than focusing on the past. Will you learn to get out of His way and let Him guide you? Ken and I hope to help you understand that if you want to focus on God's future for your life, then we must leave the past behind where it belongs. From there, we want to help you think about the ways in which they or the past may be getting in God's way as it relates to where He's trying to take us. We cannot do this thing called life by calling the shots ourselves. We need God's presence and we need God's guidance. We want you to feel the freedom that comes with letting go of one's past. And at the same time, every step that we take going forward must be with God's leading us. We understand that God does not desire for us to focus on our past. And in fact, He's willing to walk every step with us as we go forward. And that requires us moving out of His way. Let's pray together. Father, I am guilty of being in Your way on many occasions. Help me understand that You want the very best for my life, and You are the only one who knows what that actually is. Allow me to deepen my trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Ken and I encourage you to take some moments this week to meditate on this verse, seeking God's wisdom and direction for your own personal circumstances. And let's worship together this morning. May God bless you. Thank you. Welcome back to our third week of this fantastic series, Focus. I hope you have enjoyed the content just as much as I have throughout the last few weeks. So far, we have sought to lay the foundation for our focus. In week one, we talked about focusing on the good things in life, that there are certain things that the world cannot give us, things that only come from the Holy Spirit. And Paul calls us to be constantly thinking about these things rather than worldly, temporary things. Last week, we looked at a story from Matthew's Gospel where Peter and the other disciples are caught in a storm. They experience numerous different emotions and reactions, ultimately leading Peter to step out in faith and to walk on water to Jesus. We saw firsthand what happens when someone loses their focus on Christ and instead chooses to look at the distractions around them. And so now that the foundation for our focus is laid, I want us to take this concept of focus a step further today. I'm sure we can think of many people in our world, business people, leaders. Steve Jobs comes to mind, and many others like him, who had a choice to make every day of their lives. Am I going to choose to be focused on my past failures or my future? The ones we still read about today are those that chose the latter. Similar to these men and women, I believe we have the same choice in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know about negative thoughts and distractions that will try to weigh us down. And today I want us to learn how to focus on our future. This is not a future we can imagine for ourselves. It's not even one we can achieve for ourselves. I believe today that God desires to help us understand the importance of walking with Him every step of the way and allowing Him to direct our steps. So what does the Bible say about our future? Well, if you have your Bible alongside of you or your iPad or your phone, your devices, turn to Jeremiah 29 and 11. This is a very well-known verse, and many of you have probably heard it quoted or have seen it on t-shirts and hats. These words are from the prophet Jeremiah in the middle of a letter he wrote to the exiled people living in Babylon. And here's what he says in verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You see, God promises He wants to give us a future. I wonder how many of us have tried to create a future all on our own. We are so often tempted to dream it up and to bring it to be all by ourselves. Jeremiah is writing to a group of exiles who did not have much hope. These words promise them God has a plan. And today I need us to understand that God has a wonderful plan for our lives. Sometimes it's hard to believe. It often does not make sense to keep trusting His plan. But believe me when I say God's plans are much better than ours. The Bible even tells us this in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, when the prophet says, My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Once we are able to live into this truth, we will begin to move out of God's way. You know what? Some of us have been praying for a move of God in our lives. Some of us have been praying for a revival. Well, revival happens in us first and foremost and can happen in the quiet spaces that we create for ourselves. Yes, in the space where you are right now. However, for God to move in our lives, we have to move out of His way. We need to relinquish control and let Him do the work. Maybe we need to relinquish the past, the things that we thought the church should look like. And in these COVID days, we know that the church looks differently, but nevertheless, still the church. Many different things have a tendency to keep us wanting to be in charge, things that put us in God's way. This may prevent him from doing something incredible in and through us because we're just stuck on the ways that we thought things should be. And so that first obstacle is our past. The truth is, we all have a past. Now, when I say past, I'm talking about the things that we are not proud of when we look back in our lives. I mean, all the things that caused shame and guilt because of past decisions. I have stories in my past for which I'm not proud of, or where I miserably failed God. And chances are, if we were to do a poll this morning, we would find some sort of story from your past as well, which you are not proud of. The Israelites got to a similar place in the Old Testament where they simply did not know if they could trust God anymore. Flip over with me to Exodus 16. Now, at this point in the story, Moses is leading the charge for Israel. They were set free from the slavery and oppression they were facing in Egypt. However, in verse 3 of this chapter, we hear some complaining going on from the Israelites directed at Moses, God's appointed leader. And the Bible says, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve the entire assembly to death. Whoa. You see, this seems to be the other side of the coin for our past. That past can be this past week, this past month, yesterday. For some of us, because past scars and frustrations weigh us down, we have trouble trusting God for the future. Others of us may be like the Israelites here. We remember the past as better than it actually was and would rather go back because at least we knew what to expect. And maybe we had a little bit of control in that. So to trust God with our future, we're to tomorrow, the next day, when we do not know exactly what that will hold, what we will have to walk through, where he will take us, or yes, what it will cost us. In these days, there are many unknowns, which is why we are tempted to move towards comfort. In addition, if we aren't careful, our past comfort may have the potential to hold us back from our best future. It's a risky business, walking with God, allowing him to guide our steps. Even if we aren't too focused on our past and we don't allow this to hold us back, there is the temptation to press pause on God in the present. I wonder when we have read verses like Jeremiah 29 and 11 and have been tempted to only focus on our future, and in return, we convince ourselves it's all right to move God out of the picture right now in the present. And well, this brings me to this second point of being in the present. You see, the future God wants to bring to us into a role to play in our lives is right now. What are we doing now to prepare for what is next? God doesn't want to just be the God of our future. He desires to have your full attention and my full attention and obedience right now. But here's the truth. Some of us have sought to control our right now, knowing that God's got our future. There was actually a well-known person in Scripture who seemed to do the same thing. In 2 Samuel 11, the Bible tells us a story of David when he was the king over all Israel. And there was one day that King David, well, he was alone in the city and he saw a woman named Bathsheba bathing. And in a moment of weakness, he called for her and slept with her. And the story goes on to tell us that David actually had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed in battle to cover up the wrongdoing and the sin in his life. And God was able to call out David's sin and still use him in mighty ways. However, in this moment, David was not focused on that covenantal promise the Lord had made with him just chapters before. He was not focused on the future that was to come. He was only focused on his own selfish desires in the present. Similar to David, we are called to be representations of God to the world around us. When sin gets in the way, it has the potential to distort how those around us view God. Giving up control to God does not just happen in our future. It needs to happen every single moment of every single day. So this is what it has to look like every day for us. In order to get to God's future for us, we have to move out of his way in the present. Speaking of acting in humility, this leads me to the third prominent factor that often keeps us in God's way when he is trying to lead us, and that's pride. Israel faced this same struggle in Joshua 7. The wall of Jericho falls, the victory is won due to the following Lord's commands, and next they come to Ai, a town near Jericho, and Joshua, the leader of Israel's army at the time, sent some men to check out the land of Ai before attacking it. And when the men return, this is what they had to say to Joshua: "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai." And therefore, Joshua sent 3,000 men, and wouldn't you guess, they lost the battle. They wanted to do it on their own. They did not want to seek out God's leading on how to win the battle. Our pride, our overconfidence, will often try to get in the way of what God intends to do in us and through us. Which is why, once again, this entire concept of focusing on our future comes back to humility. God desires we play the background rather than the forefront of our lives and our stories. And for Israel, this was different. And so for us as the church, as Christians, please do not miss this. They were trying so hard to put God at the top of their priority list when in reality, God wanted to design the list. Some of us have been doing the same thing when it comes to both our present and our future hopes. Our dreams, our aspirations, we will try to make God our number one priority on our list rather than allowing him to create the list for us. Maybe a practice for us to do right now is to write out in our notes, on our phone, or on a piece of paper, or in our Bible, God's plan for my life at the top. Leave the rest of the page blank, except the very bottom that has a place for you and I to sign our names. Think about all the things that you have on your priority list for today, tomorrow, your future. Are you willing to sign the piece of paper or electronically sign, not knowing what God has in store for you today, tomorrow, and in the future? I believe if we're going to learn to focus on our future, we have to get out of God's way. We have to check our ego at the door. We have to remove God from our priority list so that he can be the one who is doing the creating of the list. And in so doing, keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my filled with mess. messages from thee. 'Cause I am yours, even when the doubt sets in, even when I'm running in the opposite direction. And I am yours when the night is dark and I can't see. You're always standing next to me, and I am reminded that I. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy rule. Take my love, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. I am yours.
Jeremiah 29 and 11 is a reminder for us all. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Ken and I encourage you to take some moments this week to think about this verse, to meditate on it, to seek God's wisdom and direction for your own personal journey. And we also encourage you that if you would like to reach out to us, we would be happy to hear from you and give you some direction, to listen to you, and to pray with you. May God bless you today.